So one of Montreal's most successful writers, best-selling author and Canada Reads winner Heather O'Neill says it shouldn't come as any surprise that a climate of sexual misconduct has reigned in Concordia University's English department, and specifically in the creative writing program. Concordia's president, Alan Shepard, has responded to allegations by urging people to come forward to report. He says the university's response is, quote, a work in progress, but that he is disturbed by what he is reading and taking it seriously. What he's referring to having read is a blog written by Montreal writer and teacher Mike Spry. He used to attend Concordia and used to teach there as well. In it, he describes a monster, his word, a toxic and insular Canadian literary community, Canlit, where sexual misconduct and assault and the propping up of those who are involved in it are a constant. He writes a lot about Concordia, and in his conclusion, in his blog, he writes, I'm worried that I haven't been blunt enough, so let me be clear. In my 14-year association with Concordia and CanLit, I have been witness to and made aware of innumerable instances of unwanted affection, groping, inappropriate remarks, and propositions. When rejected by women, men in positions of power would engage in whisper campaigns denigrating and degrading those who had rejected them, and I sat with these men. I called them friends. I allowed their actions through my inaction. Both Concordia and CanLit have fostered inappropriate behaviors and environments that have permeated throughout the community. Heather O'Neill, good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
You describe feeling physically ill after having read Mike Spry's account. Why?
Well, first, it was, he described in such detail the atmosphere at Concordia, and having attended Concordia, it just started triggering all sorts of memories and just having to relive those, that environment, and to see it written in such detail. It also disturbed me that I knew his blog was going to get traction. And so many women have been writing about it and writing blog entries and publishing essays about it for the past 10 years. And I myself have spoken publicly about it, but there was no reaction until a man decides to come forward with the sexual allegations, and suddenly the Concordia president is taking note.
So you have spoken about it in the past, publicly?
Yes.
And privately as well, in the instances at Concordia University where they can do something about it?
The thing is, for me it happened, we're talking 20 years ago when I was attending grad school there, and it was also so much the climate that was there that there was no reporting it. I mean, if I can specifically describe, for me, it was one specific Concordia professor who began to target me. And he called me at home and said he wanted to publish two of my poems in the university magazine. And at the time I was young and I was quite thrilled by that. And he said that he would meet me at a bar to discuss which poems he would select. And then I went to that bar and we didn't discuss the poems. He just wanted to discuss anything else on earth and be very flirtatious. And then at the end, he was like, well, let's meet again and discuss the poems. And this sort of became a constant, him pursuing me, and then we would be in situations where he would be groping me.
Like actually touching you.
Touching me in inappropriate places. To this day, I have difficulty dealing with that. And even after yesterday, when I was talking about it, I couldn't sleep last night having to relive that. And the idea, and at the time I was in my mid-20s, and I didn't really know how one reacted to that and who I could go to, because it was also seemed so much part of the climate at Concordia, and this is what one did in order to be accepted by the professors, was to kind of tolerate this behavior. And then I was, my first book of poetry, the manuscript, was accepted by a small press publishing house, and he was the editor, was assigned, and then it just became with this constant physical harassment and pressuring me to have sexual relationships with relationship with him, and he was much older. I had absolutely no interest, and it was such an abuse of the power relationship. And then he said, well, what I usually do is I take writers to my country home and we're isolated for the entire week or a weekend, and then I can edit your book that way. And I refused. I mean, I was terrified to be alone with him.
And what happened when you refused?
Then he did not edit my book, and I had to have a friend of mine edit it. So it was just sort of, it was immediately cutting off of any sort of obligation of what he was entailed to do. And at the time, then, you know, there was so, he was harassing so many students there, and it just was a well-known thing within the faculty. And one student had tried to come forward and report the sexual harassment, but then at the time, some people in the administration had encouraged her not to. And it seemed, for me, I also felt guilty. I was wondering, was I somehow complicit in this, to encourage this behavior? And it also made me feel, destroyed my self-esteem at that time, because I didn't know whether I was being published because I actually had any talent, or this was a, I had somehow become involved in some pretty, you know, back and forth, like I was only being published because he wanted to have sexual relationships with me.
It's just incredibly destructive.
It was horrible. It was, and it's kind of, and it just lays with you, and it sits with you. And then a couple years ago, someone from Concordia, who's also a photographer, came to take some photographs of me for the Montreal Review of Books. And in passing, I didn't tell him about my sexual harassment there, but I know he had been teaching there for decades. And I asked him, well, in your opinion, just because I was asking questions about the sexual environment at Concordia, and I said, in your experience, how often do male professors, male creative writing professors at Concordia, sleep with their students? And he said, in his experience, 100% of the time. And then he went on to talk about it almost in, and he mentioned the man who had sexually harassed me in terms of admiration, and was telling me just how many beautiful women he had managed to score in bed, and how admirable and sort of in awe everyone in the program was at his sexual accomplishments.
So, I mean, although that account is what Mike Spry was writing about.
Yeah.
Exactly. He describes exactly that sort of culture. I just want to make one thing clear, and that is that you are ready to name names, but we have asked you not to because we haven't been able to conduct the due diligence we need to feel comfortable singling out the individuals. But that must be incredibly frustrating for you to hear, because, I mean, it's something you've spoken about before. Why haven't we had the right kind of upset and action up until now, in your view?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with what's happening in the cultural movement and the Me Too movement, and there's been, and because of what's been happening in Hollywood, and all, there's been so much media exposure about encouraging women to come forward, and there's a new climate where we actually believe women, and the idea that actually is in itself a revolutionary one, because when I was in my mid-20s, immediately if you came forward with allegations of sexual harassment or assault, you were not believed, and you were ridiculed, and you were seen as just a fool for having somehow got yourself into that position in the first place. And when we began believing women, and the entire Me Too movement, where women are banding together and coming forward, that, I think, has created the environment where this has come forward.
From Concordia, we have a statement. Because we, you know, we spoke to you on at CBC News yesterday, and so we know the kind of sense of what you were going to say this morning. And Mary Jo Barr from Concordia sent us this. Many allegations have surfaced in the past 2 days, and we take all of them seriously, including this one. We are proud of Heather O'Neill's literary accomplishments following her studies at Concordia. We sincerely regret her experience and that she or others felt uncomfortable disclosing their viewpoints at the time. We applaud women who have facilitated disclosures of this kind, albeit so many years later. What do you make of the phrasing of that? I mean, what I am taking from that is that it's kind of, oh, you should have told us back then.
Oh, yeah. Everybody knew about it.
But and yet, because she's saying, we are proud of your literary accomplishments. We regret her experience in that she felt uncomfortable disclosing them at the time.
I did not feel uncomfortable disclosing them. I was very open always. I told everyone I knew about it. If you ask anybody who knew me at the time or any of the other students, I'm sure they would know. And also, I have been speaking about it publicly for years. I speak about it on stage often. I was speaking about it just recently at the Vancouver Writers Festival because it often comes up in discussions of craft and how one became a writer. And I have often spoken about the toxic climate at Concordia, and it is just so that there's something dismissive about that, and also I know there's been writers like Emma Healy who wrote. I think it was 3 years ago, very graphic and detailed account of her sexual assault by a professor who's still teaching at Concordia right now. And there was no reaction. There didn't seem to, like, why wasn't there this inquest then? So, I don't know. It's also, it's insulting because it doesn't feel... Also, it doesn't feel like that long ago. I don't know. It's also very difficult talking about sexual assault and harassment. And also, the reason is that I'm doing in a public manner now, which they're addressing, is because I have the platform for it, which I didn't have. What was I going to do when I was 25 years old? Stand on the street corner and yell?
I was going to say the power dynamic has shifted completely for you.
Yes.
And you're the big fish now, and you have a huge platform and a lot of influence.
Yeah.
Would you...
Also, one of the things, like with the president's statement, what I don't like was him saying at this point that the students need to come forward, because he knows who the professors are that the allegations are against. Everybody knows, because there are so many women who are tweeting about it and women who have gone forward and written articles about it. Like, why is it now on the onus on the students? Like, it's time for them to take responsibility. They should be doing the investigation and the research into these allegations. They know what they are. And stop, like, the whole, now we should all go and dutifully fill out a form, which will at some point be regarded and then somehow be dismissed. Like, every female student knows those forms are a joke.
Would you do some sort of formal process now?
No, I don't think. I think we've moved past that as women. The entire Me Too movement and the power of it is that we are circumventing that. It's been completely useless in the past, the legal process, and we've seen it recently with Gian Gomeshi, with Bill Cosby. There is no point in going forward. And because of the legality of these situations, as most of them happen without any witnesses.
Is it still happening today?
Yes. It's happening at Concordia, because 2 weeks ago I was sitting with a group of young women and they were telling me stories and they were talking. And one of the young women said to me, the only thing we have to defend ourselves is whisper campaigns and gossip. And for them, this one young woman was talking to me about the power of gossip and how women are taught not to gossip. But then she said, how do we even protect ourselves if our only means of communication at this point is gossip and whispering and not naming names, because also I know with a lot of younger women who are coming forward with allegations, they're immediately threatened by litigation suits by the male professors. So they are just, they are in terror of it.
Well, and that is as well something that Mike Spry writes about, the way that any kind of allegations are dealt with, stamped on, basically. Heather O'Neill, thank you very much for coming in. It is nice to have you in the studio. And thank you for your honesty and your courage for stepping forward and speaking to us.
Thank you so much.